Hey, welcome to episode 3 of the Campus Slipper 2017 Summer Podcast. We are at Atomic Wings at 184 First Avenue, and we had to get through a flash flood storm to get here. It was crazy. I got drenched, Caroline got drenched, everyone else is okay, so luckily nothing got damaged. Today we're talking about family life, home life, dealing with and keeping up relationships with your family and friends back at home. Caroline's writing an ebook about this that will be out August 1st. So we'll just introduce ourselves again really quick, just so you know who we all are. I'm Kevin. I just graduated NYU for digital media at Tandon.
I'm Maddie. I'm a rising sophomore at NYU.
Hi, I'm Matthew. I'm a rising sophomore at NYU. I'm double majoring in philosophy and English creative writing, and I'm working for the Campus Clipper this summer. I'm new here on the show.
And I'm Chanel. I graduated from FIT in May.
I'm Caroline. I'm going to be a junior at NYU in the fall.
Hey, I'm Sophia. I'm going to be a senior this fall at NYU.
Hey, I'm Arena. I'm going to be a junior as well. Not as well. I'm going to be a junior this fall at NYU.
So, Caroline.
Hi. So as you said, I'm writing for the Campus Clipper this summer about relationships. And today I wanted to focus on family and other people back home. My family was very close growing up, almost too close at times, if you know what I mean. And so naturally they were supportive when I decided to go to New York for school, but they also were very sad that I was going to be 4.5 hours away. And they were worried about their daughter living in such a big place all alone. So when I started school, my mom wanted me to text her when I got home every single night so she knew I got back safe. I think this lasted maybe 5 days, and then like I just stopped texting her, and she would like text me periodically and be like freaked out that she hadn't heard from me in 48 hours, and I'd be like, I'm fine, Mom, I'm living my life. So freshman year I was pretty bad at staying in touch with people back home, and as someone who is pretty independent, sometimes I would forget how much I needed my parents and how much they needed me in return. So I guess I wanted to start off by asking everyone, who do you talk to at home and how often do you talk to them?
So I obviously keep in touch, well, maybe it's not obvious, but I talk to my family back home. Not super often. I actually don't talk to my mom that often, maybe like once a week, couple times a week, which is kind of funny because I think like I have a great relationship with her, but I know some of my friends talk to their mom like all day, every day, and I'm just like, no, I don't need to do that. And I probably talk to my dad more just because he talks to me more. Like, he's very overprotective, and so him and my stepmom are like always like calling me, texting me, trying to know like what's up, what I'm doing, where I'm at. But I don't think the transition from home to school where I was on my own was really challenging as far as keeping in touch with people. And I think the people that I am still friends with back home, like, I'm not surprised by that. They're the people that I was closest to in high school too, and those people in high school that kind of were just like there, like we hung out because we were all around each other all the time, like those are the people that kind of like I don't really keep in touch with as much, and that was to be expected, I think. So
yeah, that's a good point. A lot of the friends that I made back home, I noticed I made out of circumstance, and a lot of the friends that I made here in New York City, I went about like choosing on my own. As far as my family, I try to keep in touch as much as possible, but it gets really hard in New York City, living an independent life and, you know, trying to really establish yourself. And sometimes it can be kind of a nag trying to talk to family back home. But like, I always remember that they're there for me, and they want me to be able to like recognize that. And they just want to really know how I'm doing. So I try my best to stay in touch with them, even though I can't really do it as much as I'd like to.
Do you have older siblings?
No, I'm actually the oldest, and I have two younger brothers.
I feel like that's unusual to be, I don't know, I think a lot of my friends that are the oldest child, their parents have the hardest time laying off and letting them be more independent when they leave for school. Like, I lucked out. I'm the middle child, which in some ways is, you know, the middle child. But I didn't have to go through as much of that kind of attachment, I think, with my parents. We talk when we talk, and a lot of it depends on how busy I am, what I'm doing. If assignments are really heavy, I don't call them as much. They don't really call me so much. I call them a lot. I love them.
I also I think I'm one of these people that I like love their moms because I could talk to my mom every single day, maybe twice a day, but it might just be for 5 minutes while I'm walking to class. You know, she's just someone who's always going to listen to me, and I really applaud her for that because sometimes I am very boring and very repetitive, but she's still there. And I think that a key to being okay with your parents and helping them let go of you is give more than they ask so that they know that you're going to be okay. For example, even though I talk to her every day, on weekends I usually don't because I forget about it. And if we don't speak twice or three days in a row, she's going to message me. She's like, just let me know you're fine. And I do. And the next day I call her and we talk a lot again. And that's like, I don't know if you'd consider that a healthy relationship, but at least I do.
I probably call my mom for little things like that all the time. Like if I'm walking to the grocery store, I'll talk to her in the grocery store, tell her what I'm making for dinner, or just on the way to class and be like, hi, just calling to say hey.
I think that the people that I was able to keep in touch with most easily from home were the people from high school, because weirdly enough, it became a huge obstacle that my parents don't really know how to text, and I wasn't really that comfortable calling if I couldn't find any privacy. If I was in my room and I wanted to actually tell my mom real things about how I felt, I lived with five other people and it was hard to not be heard through those walls. But sometimes when I really needed advice, I would go on long walks and just talk to her for hours because, again, she was the person who was most likely to listen to me.
Moms are so important like that.
Hey, everyone. I'm Peter, and I managed to not come in looking like a drowned, harassed rat today because we have a major storm brewing here in New York City.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. It was crazy. We all like scattered in here at different times. So
what were we talking about?
We were talking about who we'd speak to back home, like family, friends, and how often do you talk to your family, really?
Every single day. I say if you can, call your mom every single day, or dad, whoever, you know, whomever is important to you, because they need to be reminded that you're important and they're important. I think it just really, really bugged me a lot in college when people would be like, oh, I hate my mom. But like, do you realize that you're in college because of your parents for the most part? I mean, of course, like tons of people have all sorts of stories about how they got to college. But for the most part, probably 90% of all of us, everybody in college got there because of their parents. So always appreciate them.
Yeah, those were all really good points. I liked what Sophia said about the oldest child, because I am the oldest child. And I think that's definitely part of the struggle that my mom had watching me go off to school. So now I want to talk about when you go home for breaks and what the family dynamic is. And I find that whenever I go home, I always find there's this weird power struggle between me and my family. And I've gotten so used to living on my own that we always end up fighting about silly little things like how late I'm staying up or how often I'm hanging out with my friends. Or one time I made myself lunch and didn't offer to make anyone else lunch because I make myself food all the time, and like got in this huge fight with my parents. They were like, we're home, it's a Saturday, and you didn't like offer to make everybody lunch. And I was like, oh, is that something I do? Like, and they're like, I don't know, it would be respectful. And I was like, okay. So I always find that these little things like this always come up when I'm home. So when you go home, what advice do you have for getting along with your parents? Or do you have any stories about things that you didn't think would be an issue and then were?
I find that it's important to just try to recognize what they're going through and meet them halfway. Like, I am the youngest child, and I actually had an experience very different from Sophia, where as the youngest child, I find that my parents don't want to let me go, because if I'm out of the house, then it's just the two of them, and they don't have a child anymore, and they've had kids now for like 23 years, so it's a very big change for them. So I'm just working on understanding what it feels like for them and trying to spend time with them when I can, because for the most part, they are respectful of the fact that I want to have my own life.
Wow. They have such a nice daughter.
I try.
I'll say that, like, I definitely do feel the power struggle thing a little bit. Whenever I go back home, my parents have, like, certain expectations of me. And I basically, when I live in, I'm from Georgia originally. And when I'm back in Georgia, the type of lifestyle I live is different from what it is here in New York City. Like when I stay up longer in Georgia, like late into the night, which is normal for me here in New York, my parents will question why I'm staying up that late in the first place. And they're questioning if I'm able to, you know, study effectively and like get all of my work done if I'm a night owl. But at the end of it all, I think that what's really important is showing that you're responsible and that you have like your life together and that you're able to like give back to your parents.
I think that's something important to remember also is that even though you may have changed and become a different person in university and now you live alone and you've gone through all these experiences, when you go back, you should remember what you love about being home and try to live through that again. Because truth is, you haven't changed that much and your parents are still there and you're still their daughter, so, or their son or anything. You're still their kid. So what I like to do is try to fall back and see myself and be myself, be me when I was 4 years younger and do things that me and my parents love to do together. And I feel that if I give them these moments that they don't have anymore, they kind of lay off everything else.
So for me, I think when I first started school, it was really challenging every time I went home, especially because mainly I just like wasn't really spending that much time at home. I was more out with my friends all the time, and like at one point me and my mom had like this huge like fight, argument, whatever you want to call it, and she was just like so upset because I was never home, and she was like, well, your friends can come here and all of this stuff, and it was crazy. And I understand where she was coming from. I don't know that I really stopped that. I think she kind of just got over it because now I go home and I'm still never really home. And I think that she just kind of had to be like, okay, like she's going to do what she wants to do. And so I don't even really stay at my house that much when I go home. Like I want to see my family, but like I hate like I can relate to the thinking that like your house is just like not even right. Like it's like I go home and I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, all of this is not okay. Like, so I'm just like, I can't stay here. Like, and I'm always like busy with my friends. And so, yeah, I don't really know if I have advice on this topic, but I can relate for sure.
Yeah, like Chanel, my concept of home is completely changed. College is like sort of a cocoon in a weird way, in its own way, how you kind of have a metamorphosis every time you come home. Like, yeah, I know for sure that every time I was coming home from college, I would be a slightly different person. Not like completely like 180 psycho different person. I mean, just like I had new experiences every time I came home. And I would just be a little more mature, I guess, if that makes sense. Or maybe a little more immature, or it doesn't, you know, something. There was always some kind of change. And for me, though, I never thought of home as like, home was where my heart was. Our home wasn't a location. So if my parents were in New York City, that was home. Or if I was wherever I was home. So I think that's something that also sort of changed for me throughout college. So I guess like to answer the question, what was the question?
Peter, I could definitely relate to you because when I first semester, I went home a lot, and home was kind of like a place for me to resist change, I guess. And eventually got to a point where I'm like, I need to embrace college. And then when I stopped going home all the time, that's when I could like pinpoint like my freshman year. When that finished, the summer after that was when I realized I can't like keep going back to this, like the cities where I can like grow as a person. So I definitely realized that eventually I'm like, you know, how much more can I grow here? This is the place for me to grow in the city.
I like how you said that New York City is where you can grow as a person, because I think that that's very true, and I think this is a great place for anybody to be, because I don't think you can come here and not grow and change as a person. But I think, even though, okay, I just said, you know, I go home and I'm not even like at my actual house that often, the more time that goes by, the more I can't wait to go back. I really appreciate it more. Like, I think I came to New York City with the intention of like never turning back. And now I'm like, okay, I'm going to move home in the next couple years. Like, I can't wait to go back and like be with those friends and family. And so I think that this is like a great experience, and I am not ready to go back yet. But I think that the heart grows fonder with distance.
Yeah, and going off of that, like, I mean, I was home this weekend, and it was really nice, especially, like, I feel like during the school year, whenever I'm home, I feel like it's rushed. I feel like I'm home from my sister's dance recital that I promised I would go to for less than 24 hours, and I'm just there, and the whole time I'm stressed, and, like, I don't want to be here. I have stuff to do. I have friends that are doing things without me. And so during the school year, it feels very, like, I get very, like, claustrophobic almost when I go home and, like, ready to go back to the city. But this summer it's been a little bit more relaxed. I'm just working a lot. I don't really have any, like, major things going on, and so going home was like almost like a mini vacation. It was really nice to be able to just go and relax and know that, yes, I had stuff to do when I came back to the city, but, like, I could take these few days for myself to go just hang out with my family, and, like, it was really nice to do that.
I don't know, I've just been thinking about Chanel, what you said about going home and not really being home because you want to see your friends. And I know that, Caroline, you talked a little bit about how your dynamic with your friendships has changed with people that you met before college. I find that I don't really talk so much to a lot of people from high school. Was it you, Matthew, were you saying a lot of those friendships were circumstantial? I think I have the same experience. The few people that I do still keep in touch with, they're really busy. I have a friend who's, like, in a PhD program now, and, like, they're never home either, so most of how we keep in touch is not dependent on the time that I'm at home, like, visiting my parents, which is unfortunate that I don't get to see them as much, but I think lucky, too, because I get to separate that more, like, family time and friend time.
Yeah, going off of that, I definitely felt that this past weekend I didn't see any friends. I was just with my family for 3 days, and it was really nice. And I think part of that has come from what you said, like, circumstantial friends. Like, you sort of drift apart from people. And I found that, like, two of my best friends from home both go to school in New York, a half an hour from me, which is really nice, because then during the school year I can see them as well. So, like, when I go home, it's not like that's my only time to see them. But I did find that my first summer back, a few of my friendships had turned toxic because so many of us had changed over the year, and I tried really hard to salvage pieces of these friendships, but in the end it just wasn't worth it. So I guess my next question is, how have you found relationships shift back home, which I think a lot of you talked about, but also, like, if you've ever needed to end a friendship, how did you do it, or did you just sort of let it fizzle out, or have you not had to experience that?
Well, I find that a lot of relationships, I like the word circumstantial, because a lot of relationships come down to space, time, and place. And what I mean by that is, every time I went home, I was a different person, but not just me. It was my friends who were also coming home were all different people. And like, I had learned things about myself in college that made me realize that maybe my friends back at home weren't really my friends. And, like, when it comes down to, like, having to eliminate toxic friendships, I think simply all I had to do was be myself, and then I found my people that way. And I think everybody in their circles found their people that way, was just by allowing themselves to be them.
Yeah. I will say, when, like, every time I go back to Georgia, my friends list in Georgia gets cut, like, little by little. I've had to end a lot of friendships. I mean, part of it is the culture of the South, and, like, the way, like, social structures work there. It's a lot different from here in New York City. But a lot of the people I just didn't resonate with on a deeper level. And the conversations we'd have were very shallow. And here in New York City, I was able to find an amazing group of people who I could communicate with at any level I really desired. And once you experience that, it's really hard to go back to the former. So the way I ended it a lot of times was I would just stop hitting them up, or I would just be like, look, I'm busy, I can't hang out with you. But, like, time is one of the greatest commodities that we do have, and so I think we should maximize what we do have with that.
I think that's what's really important when you're letting a relationship, like, kind of fizzle out, is understanding that though you've changed and you don't get along with your said friend anymore, they've changed as well. And it's not just you that's taking step forward, it's everyone. And I feel like it really helps me understand my friends, my ex-friends better and accept them as people and not be upset that we're not friends anymore, because it's just natural for people to evolve. And it doesn't mean that one has evolved better and one has stayed behind, or something terrible happened to them and they're the same, like, poor 18-year-old. No, they've changed as well, and you just don't get along anymore. But respecting each other, I think, is a very is key to ending a friendship, funnily enough.
I'm only out of my first year of college, and I think that because it's so soon for me, I've held on to a lot of friends from high school, but I found that certain people that tended to cause problems with their behavior, I just don't think I notice those problems as much anymore, because I spend less time with each person and the conversations that I have with some of them are very surface level. And that may come back to be a problem for me in the future, but it's also possible that once a year for the rest of my life, I will see that person and that person will never be a problem for me, even if I do remain friends with them. And I feel like only time will tell.
I think now that we've all, like, really seriously talked about all of our families and friends back home, and aided by the terrible weather going on outside, we should all give a shout out to someone at home that you know listens to this podcast. So I'm going to shout out to my mom, who found the podcast before I even knew it was up, because she stalks my social media so thoroughly. So shout out to you, Mom.
Shout out to my little sister.
Shout out to my best friend.
Shout out to my dad.
Shout out to my little brother, Luke.
Shout out to my Nana.
It's for my mom and my dog, Mary Kate.
And shout out to my mom. All right, guys, that was really some really great stuff. I feel like I know you guys a lot better now. So thank you all for listening to this podcast, number 3, here at Atomic Wings at 11th Street and 1st Avenue. We're about to chow down, and I'm really excited because I love wings. And if you use your Campus Clipper coupon booklet to come to Atomic Wings, you get 5% off. Like, might as well. Check out Caroline's ebook. Check out the Campus Clipper social media, because we got a bunch of updates. We got a new Campus Clipper podcast every week of the summer. And we got ebooks coming out from all these awesome writers. So it's some great stuff. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye.